live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It is just gone 12:30. It's time to catch up with Lewis Herbert. Good morning to you, Lewis.
Hello, Alex.
Now, we're sort of, I've talked to you many times, but in very different roles. This time, we're talking in your sort of work capacity, really, isn't it? As working with Alia Holmes.
Yeah, well, now that I'm not a counsellor, I've got plenty of time to burn on other things. So,
yeah.
So homelessness is a huge theme of it. And Alia Future Homes built a lovely supported modular home community on Christ the Redeemer Church, and built another one in Wisbeach, and my job is to build more. There's a wonderful It Takes a City group who are aiming to build one in almost every part of Cambridge, so my role is to develop such communities in Norwich, in Peterborough, in Chelmsford, in Southend, other parts of the country. So we just know that it makes a difference because it enables people to recover. They've got their own front door key for the first time in 5 or 10 years. They support each other, and there's research by Cambridge University that just confirms that it's a route off the street rather than bouncing back and forth between the street and hostels.
Yeah, I think that's the issue that a lot of us won't understand, luckily for us. And I think sometimes it is luck, isn't it? I think it is. You can end up in these things sometimes through like a really terrible, like perfect storm of bad situations or choices or things that have happened. And it's not always a cut and dry, oh, you know, this, that and the other that people might say. I'm not even going to say things that people say. But we're all human. And we all deserve to have some things like warmth and shelter. These are some of the initial needs of a person, you know, from years ago. So how you were saying about sometimes these things happen without control and how you get back out of them.
Well, sometimes hanging on to your home is about the last thing that people lose. So I've had a lucky life, but I've had depression. I think when you see people, you often don't see what's inside them. And as you say, it's quite common that there's been just some kind of trigger event. There may already be mental health challenges, but there's a trigger event, a bereavement, a split of a relationship. It can actually be a relatively small thing, but then there's a kind of cascade of everything. So if things go wrong and you lose your job, your relationship might break down, you might lose your relationship with other people, including the wider family. So effectively, what quite often happens for the people who are right at the bottom of what I'd call a ladder, because there's sort of a ladder of people on housing at all levels struggling in different ways, but the people who suffer the most are effectively the people that have got nobody to help, and they themselves have got so many challenges that the street other ways of just living on is how they survive. They want to live, but they haven't got a way back. And that means that all of the issues that they've got, which then can get compounded by alcohol and drug addiction, which may not have been there earlier on, that has to be dealt with. They've got to be supported. But actually getting somewhere of their own that they can shut the front door on, which they can start to just have a bit of a space for themselves, is a really big way to start that recovery.
Yeah, and like you say, it takes a lot of people around supporting. And if you haven't had that, this is why it's nice to have a new support group from yourselves and like it takes the city people that are saying, OK, you might not have had that, but we're going to put that support in for you now. And it's things like, you know, once you don't have a house, you don't have somewhere to wash. You don't have somewhere necessary to go to an interview. You don't have then, you know, each one spiral, isn't it? You can't get out of that thing. So it's just to move you out of that, I guess. And you say you've had success with these in Cambridge. Is Cambridge like the pioneer, or are there other people doing things in the rest of the country?
Well, Martin Clark at Alia, who happens to be my boss and a good boss, he effectively spent a couple of years trying to find a site, get it going, but he was learning from others. There were other examples, but they tended to be a bit institutional. The Salvation Army is a wonderful organisation. They've got a location in Ilford where they've got 40 places where people have got their own door, but they're part of a hostel. Alia learned a lot from an outfit called Social Bite in Edinburgh, who did something that Martin wanted to get on and do. So Emmaus has been around for ages. So it hasn't been that there haven't been equivalents. It's just that if you just take the Newmarket Road example, a row of six homes, or in Wisbeach, three facing onto another, it's their community as well as their front door. And what the research does show is that they want people who also understand them, and their neighbours do that, and their neighbours will know that some days or even some weeks they're not going to have a good time, but they'll be there. And so that self-support across different characters, which it leads into the issue of just making sure there's a balance of people who are sharing, sometimes with extra support. Jimmy's have been marvellous. So there are four communities in Cambridge. They're all working well. There's a planning in for a fifth. I don't think anywhere's got as many small communities, but there are now over 50 to 60 that have been consented just unbuilt just in about the last 18 months. Hill, the builders, have played a big part in it. So there's about 50 around the country, but we just believe that it's part of the jigsaw, and it really does respect the individual. And it's going back to your point, it's about human beings. And I don't think personally that someone moving straight into a flat in a different part of Cambridge, away from everybody else, yes, they've got some neighbours, but that's a real challenge. Just to move into a flat where...
And it's almost setting up for failure, isn't it, in that sense, that you're into a place, you don't know anyone, you haven't got any support, you haven't got that community around you. And I was just thinking, as you were saying that comes down to also, like, getting more social housing from the sort of next step up, isn't it? So that, you know, people don't get into these difficulties in the first place, that they've got somewhere to go that, you know, we can do this with. And also I was thinking, you know, having your own door, sort of putting up a few bits and pieces, a poster or a picture, or
it's yours.
And then you take ownership of it, don't you?
So I've got to set the backdrop, and I, ahead of having a chat with you, Alex, I did a little look back and it really annoys me that it's 45 years. I mean, it pees me off, to use a phrase, that it's 45 years since a British government of any colour actually invested significant in housing. And we only built a lot of housing when we had a government that was putting a lot of money in. We only built 300,000 homes a year. And that's roughly what we need as a country until about 1970. And since then, it's been a disaster. There's hardly been any new council housing built, and Mrs. Thatcher set up the right to buy. So there's a real shortage of housing. So the people who are at the bottom, there's people on other rungs of the ladder. Mm-hmm. There are 550,000 people estimated to be sharing with friends or still living with family when really they want to be somewhere else. There's 300,000 households who were registered as homeless last year in this country. And so I've got to just put some of it down to the lack of supply. So the population of this country, and it's our own breeding, it isn't all about people coming in, has gone up 36% since 1950 when we were building 300,000 homes a year. But we've only been building half as many as we need. So the people who are on the lowest incomes, the people who are most marginal, and it particularly affects young people. Mm. Young people, I find it really difficult. If they don't get on with their parents, or they want to go off on their own anyway, they don't get the same minimum wage, they don't get the housing benefit, they really struggle. And so we've got And we've got still people in their 30s and 40s, and maybe some listening, who really struggle to have somewhere to live. So yes, we're trying to help rough sleepers and people with really serious support needs as move on, before they can then move on to a more permanent place. But it's only the tip of the iceberg, Alex, and so the nature of homelessness really has to be a national priority. So I'm hoping that if Labour gets elected, they will make it more of a priority. I know Lisa Nandy wants to do it, but the money gets paid back through the rent over 30 years. It isn't a difficult sum. You don't have to have the money straight up, but we need to build 300,000 homes a year, and that would help rough sleepers as well as a lot of young people.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely fascinating, and I do hope you'll come back and give us an update on those. Now, I was just thinking, my last thought on that is, you were saying that they're built in little areas so they can be communities themselves, but I think it is within all of us. We know during lockdown lots of areas became good communities for each other, but I think it's also in us to just to understand that everybody's human, and to, if these housing developments are set up in your area, to make people welcome and not be the us and them, because I think that's really important.
And I wasn't the leading councillor. Councillor Rosie Moore did more than me in our area. Councillors did a lot. Some amazing people in the community. We literally made sure that across an area, like our ward of Coleridge, but other areas did it street by street, people actually knew who needed a bit of support. And I just think the English are a bit antisocial.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, we probably only know two or three neighbours, and we should really reach out more, because some people could be on that downslope, and little things could help stop it happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Lewis. Absolutely fascinating. That's Lewis Herbert from Allier Homes.
Cambridge 105 Radio.